Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida. Welcome back to the show, Rick, and hopefully you didn't float away.
No, I didn't. I'd say Florida gets more rain than it needs sometimes, and it was raining so hard that I didn't even go out to explore all the big puddles that, not puddles, they're actually lakes that occur on some of the highways down here. But if you look at Florida on a map or from an airplane, you realize that we don't have much elevation from sea level.
Talking about rising things, how about the stock market and what's behind the drive?
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I'm watching yesterday's action, and we're in a stage of a lunatic, a psychotic blow off in the market, where you're literally generating $1 trillion worth of inflated, hyper gaseous wealth every day. So Apple took off like a bolt from the blue yesterday, and it was really cool. The scumballs who manipulate the markets, they're actually getting better at it. So with Apple, when the AI announcement came out, who could be bullish about Apple telling the world, "Hey, we're clueless about AI. We don't even have a horse in a race, but we went to another company and we made a deal with them, and we're going to slap some twaddle AI component into the iPhone. So we've now got an AI piece to the iPhone, but it's someone else's piece. You know, Apple can no longer innovate." So the market was, I think, rightly discouraged when the news came out, and the stock did nothing. But the scumballs who manipulate Apple and the markets, they did something pretty amazing. They waited until day two. Everybody, remember now, everybody on day one was saying, "Boy, well, I guess, you know, the Apple, their announcement laid an egg," and they had all been lulled to sleep. And that's when the boys pulled the little short squeeze, opening Apple on a huge gap. And before you knew it, the stock was up by, 20 some dollars, creating about $350 billion of quote unquote wealth. And it didn't take any real buying. There's no bulls buying the stock up there. It's all short covering. And that goes to something I've always said, that the real power in bull markets comes from bears. It's bears that drive bull markets. Bears are the only ones who buy with such urgency that it can push a stock like Apple above its previous all-time peak. So the market, the fix is in, and the delusions are really at their apex right now, and it's pretty amazing. You don't want to get in the way of it either. So that's my read on yesterday.
So how do we use that information to trade, I guess, strategically or tactically?
Well, I would say if you're in it for the long haul, you better be taking your money out of Apple and putting it into something that everybody hates, or like treasury bonds. They're hating them less, by the way, you know, in case you haven't noticed, treasuries are in a nice rally, and yields being what they are, you got to have your head examined to be, you know, in something like Chipotle at 88 times earnings.
What's going on then with interest rates? Do you think the Fed's going to cut, and are people obsessed with this, with cuts or a cut?
Well, it's funny. If they were really obsessed with them, they would have crushed the market back in January. You know, the market came into the new year absolutely revved up. You know, all the pressure was being brought to bear on the Fed to loosen. And of course, when the Fed didn't loosen, when they stood pat, the market should have gotten crushed, going up and up and up and up and up. And the reason is, even though, like, we've got this ostensible concern about interest rates, it's not the market just is a one way ticket right now. It just goes up. It's in a psychotic blow off phase. And so what the heck does it matter whether the Fed's splitting hairs about, well, maybe we'll loosen one time this year or whatever. So whether the news on the interest rate front is, it's disappointing or good or bad or whatever, that doesn't matter. The market is going up no matter what. And nobody seems to have figured that out. So interest rates are high enough that we've already got the recessions coming. I mean, we don't talk much about what it's doing to the banking system and to the fact that, you've got 12 zeros of treasuries needing to be retired, this year. There's enough in the pipeline really to slow down the economy. And of course, we've got an election coming up that's not going to, I'm not even sure. Well, I guess Trump's impending victory will certainly be good news on Wall Street, but I think he'll be taking office around the time when market prices are just a bit rich. So, sell Apple, buy treasuries.
How's the inflation picture? And are consumers still confident in the U.S. or are they losing confidence?
Well, there is no middle class anymore. They've all been crushed, and even up to the sort of not upper reaches, the upper reaches of the middle class, everybody's feeling it. You know, you go to the grocery store, you buy anything, and you get slammed. And I don't think that's gonna abate at all, at least not for the foreseeable future, because we've got a lot of price increases that will come from the greatly increased shipping costs, because Biden seems to want to do nothing, and not just Biden, but the whole world seems to think it's okay for the Houthis to be shooting at our ships in the Suez. So, we've got a lot of inflation to come, and unfortunately, the only relief we'll get from it is a deep recession.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, getting back to AI and Apple just throwing AI on something, is this like the dot-com bubble we saw in 2000 that eventually went bust? You just had to put dot-com on something back then and people would throw money at it. Is that the same case now? You put AI on it and all of a sudden people will throw a few million at it?
Well, this is a much better story because it's much more vague. You know, dot-com was at least some website you could log into, you could do business with dot-com. But with AI, I have to say I have mixed feelings about it, mostly negative, partly because if AI, there's a certain irony in the discussion of what they call the large language model. It's essentially incorporating vast amounts of information that we communicate verbally. All right. And it's storing all of it in a way that it becomes self-referential. It can sort of pull, it can synthesize answers from this body of knowledge. It's, if not infinite, it's sort of getting added in that direction. All right. So they call it a large language model. But in the smallest instance of language, meaning autocorrect, autospell, it's a chimp could do better. You know, you've had your autocorrect take a perfectly correct sentence and turn it into something that looks like a third grader wrote it. All right. So AI is as dumb as the proverbial sack of nails, at that level. And to me, it's so ironic that we're talking about the large language model, but it literally, when you're sort of dictating voice to text into your iPhone or your Android phone, it literally cannot get a short sentence correct. It doesn't know, it puts a period where it shouldn't be. It doesn't capitalize names, proper names. It's so stupid. It's absolutely dumbfounding. You could tear your hair out thinking, how could anything be so stupid? So to me, that's sort of the one side of AI. If it's so smart, how come it can't even take a simple sentence and get it right when you dictate it? On the other side, there's just Steve Levy. Steve Levy is, I guess, emeritus editor for Wired magazine, and he's been around the big guys for so long. It's like he knew Jobs when Jobs was still playing with circuit boards in his garage. So Steve Levy, over his distinguished career, has met pretty much everybody, and he's had discussions with a lot of smart people, and he has the ability to sort of hear it, synthesize it, and write about it in ways that are cogent and convincing. So Steve Levy was saying, hey, this AI, it's really not underestimated. It's really going to be a big thing. To me, it could be a big thing, but if it's the biggest thing that it seems to be headed toward is eliminating a lot of jobs. So even though I'm still, my imagination falls short of whatever the heck it's supposed to be that is going to make AI so great, I accept that it's going to be a big deal, just not necessarily a big deal, a good big deal, because the putting people out of work thing is really, that's the primary function of AI to the extent it's being used already. The euphemism is that it's making certain jobs easier. But as we know, if you make a job too terribly easy, then you have a good reason for laying off the person who's doing that job if a machine can do it. And, the single instance where I can imagine AI doing something interesting other than, you know, churning out boilerplate that looks like it was written by a machine, it just feels like it, would be for the AI box, black box, sitting in a courtroom. And I feels like AI could absolutely tie the world's best criminal lawyer in knots, because the machine, of course, has reference material. It can access the entire congressional library of jurisprudence, all legal decisions, you know, all case histories, everything. And it can use those in a courtroom. And I do give it credit for being able to hear the discussion in a courtroom and know not only which laws are applicable, but how to apply precedent in a way that's tactically advantageous. In other words, it can take, all the legal library, the law library, and it can use it against you. You don't have to be, Clarence Darrow machine to get that far. You're only arguing against a mortal criminal, let's say a prosecutor. So I can see AI sitting in a courtroom just doing a fabulous job of getting a lot of guilty people off the hook.
In Vancouver, though, we did have the case of a lawyer who used AI to write up her perspective in her court case, and it turned out four of the precedents that were cited in that AI written brief were false. They were made up. And she's been heavily sanctioned for using AI instead of doing it herself, because of course it's not approved by the courts. And in this case, AI just made stuff up.
I would want to look more closely at the details there, my understanding of AI is that it could only make stuff up if or part of the instruction that it could do that. And, you know, we do have controls on AI. We've heard about them, really. Companies are saying, yeah, we're going to allow this model to be used, but here's what you will not be able to do with it. And of course, they restrict one fairly evolved capability of AI is in the graphic area. It can produce, you can say, well, give me a picture of an octopus sitting in its lair typing, you know, the great American novel. And it can do that. It can visualize that whole thing. But the AI restriction will be such that you say, well, here's a picture of this my next door neighbor, and I've really got the hots for her, and I'd like to see her without her clothes. And AI can do that, but it can be restricted from doing it. So this woman, the lawyer who got sanctioned because AI produced phony case histories, I don't quite believe the facts of that story. I think there's something more to it. But yeah, I do, for all my skepticism about AI, I do think you could put the AI box in a courtroom and it could trounce the prosecutor, or I guess the prosecutor could use it as well and trounce the defense lawyer.
What's going on with gold?
It's thrashing around. It's just making life difficult for gold bulls. They're right. They're on the right side of the market. They're on the right side of the story. But sometimes you really just have to put up with enormous shenanigans, and it just makes it hard. It's a bull market that's making it very difficult for bulls. So you know, I think we did make a high recently in gold that was a bit below my target. I really thought we were going to get up there a bit above 2,500, and we didn't quite get there. So that's not a good sign when I've got these ABCD patterns that give me rally targets that appear fairly certain to be achieved, and they don't get achieved. It's a sign of underlying weakness. So gold over the last 2 or 3 months, it created a double top there between 24 and 2,500. And I think we're going to have to come down lower to get a running start to take those peaks out. But I don't think we've topped. It looks very toppy, but I feel like gold's got to just come down maybe in 2,200 range, maybe even a little lower, to get a good running start to make a serious move through 2,500.
Does silver have room to go higher?
Well, yeah. I mean, so you can see today it's certainly got room to go lower. You know, it's crushed $30 an ounce. And I know a couple guys in my chat room were sort of grumbling because a very high visibility guy, Schaefer, put out a, you know, he said $30 is bedrock for silver, but not today. So we've traded down to about $28.80 an ounce off a recent high. The high in silver for this era of our lives was close to $33 an ounce, 32.75, I think it was, basis the July contract. So we've come off by about 12%, which is a lot for a few weeks. And, you know, silver, it looks good, but it may have to do more backing and filling to get a running start itself, just like gold.
With crude, we haven't had our annual springtime refinery explosion and fire as an excuse to boost prices.
Right. The driving season is upon us, right? And I don't know. I think even the criminals who manipulate the price of crude, the global criminal cartels. It's so complicated. It's such an ordeal that even they've kind of lost their way. There's so many cross currents for the manipulators that, well, I'm not going to say you start feeling sorry for them, but crude, for all the manipulating, as I speak, it's trading exactly where it was in early 2022. So we've had these huge swings, but it's net going nowhere, and it's just this big vicious animal that is. You can't even speak anymore in terms of what are the supply and demand factors, because crude. It's as sleazy as all the other markets, so that when you have an announcement, as you did a few weeks ago, that the Saudis were lifting their curbs on production, on output, you better not get short, you know, because ordinarily if they're lifting the quotas, it's going to depress the price of oil. There'll be more supply. But in this case, we know now that the little announcement was prelude to this big short squeeze in oil that's taken it from 72 and change up to a recent high of, what was it, 70, above 78 anyway. So we had a pretty good rally there. And I just think it's so... The market for crude, because it's being buffeted by geopolitical forces and also by political forces that are generated nationally by sovereign governments that produce oil, or at least that, you know, have the commanding stake in it. So it's almost too complicated. It's not too complicated to predict, because you just sort of look at the charts and the charts will tell you where, but I don't begin to understand the why.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I had some targets that made me think these were important stocks. They were Microsoft with a 430 target and Apple with a 198 target. And they were, to me, logical places to look for a major market top. But with yesterday's, with the fix in, you know, and the short squeeze on Apple that took everything else with it, we absolutely blew out those targets. And so I've got to kind of rethink the idea that the most dangerous top of all, the one that would suck everybody in, would be a marginal new high for Microsoft above 430 and for Apple above 198. But the 220 price achieved yesterday by Apple is not a marginal increase, an incremental gain. It absolutely blew out the old target. So in that sense, it's technically what you call an impulsive move, meaning it just wants to go higher and may require a little bit of a correction. So if we're going to, instead of topping here marginally higher in a way that sucks everybody in, if we're actually going to extrapolate a real rally from this impulsive move we saw yesterday, then let me give you the bad news. If you're a perma bear, there really is a case for 6,000 plus on the S&Ps. They're currently trading 5,400. A little bit above that, so we can have a pretty good size rally here in the S&Ps. And don't say that I've thrown in the towel, that I'm just one more bear who's capitulated. I'm always a bear, but I'm a bear at this point with this idea that we could have a 600 point burst here in the S&Ps.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me on, Jim. It is always a true pleasure to connect with your audience.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.